My daughter Kate and I were driving back from the orthodontist earlier this week, and we had stopped by County Line Road because she wanted to run by the Chick-fil-A, but before going back to school, and we pulled up to the Chick-fil-A, and I don't know if you've noticed, but it's been gutted. They're working on the playground and the entire inside, so the store was shut down. And Kate's response to that was, "It is winter in my heart." Wow. I know we all Methodists, we like chicken, and some of you, I'm going to hear an earful from some of y'all this morning because you're thinking about Chick-fil-A and they're not open today, so I'm in trouble with a lot of y'all. It's winter in my heart. Tough words for just missing some chicken. These are tough words. They're hopeful words. They're words of hope to us, but Jesus continues to not pull punches during Holy Week. The tone has shifted. We're just days now, moments now before the cross, and he is looking them in the eye and saying some things that need to be said. So what's here for us? Now, we've already talked about, when we talked about the fig tree, about the importance of watching, about keeping that coming day always in front of us. Five different times that word shows up in this chapter. And I say this chapter, in just a few chapters that Mark's able to give to Holy Week, he gives a whole chapter to this topic of the return of Christ. This is something we are to keep in front of us. 300 times in scriptures this is mentioned. You've got double digit times that Jesus mentions this. If you go through scripture and look at all those verses that talk about the beauty and the necessity of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, it speaks 8 times more to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Actually, the Bible talks more about the second coming of Christ than the first coming of Christ. So here's this reminder, and every time we celebrate this meal, you'll hear it. We're waiting for that day when we get to have that heavenly banquet with you. It's always a reminder before us to keep that glory and that hope. Not only has he died for us to cleanse us of our sins, not only is he resurrected to free us for life, but there's a day coming when he will take his children home. Keep that hope before you, but also to remind us about several things. Watch, but if you're following along very quickly this morning, we don't have to be afraid. Fear can drive us and fear can paralyze us. And so Jesus says in this moment of coming crisis, and by the way, this isn't just for them, in their day, but for us as well, whatever's around us, in our families, in our work, with our kids or grandkids, Jesus says it over and over again. He's actually known by that because it's the first thing he says when he comes back at resurrection. This is a word he's known by. You don't have to be afraid with me. Things may be falling apart all around you, but if you're with me, you don't have to be afraid. And so he shares this word, and it's a word we need to hear, church. Because again, fear can drive us. It can paralyze us. And then in verse 11, he goes on to say, in times of crisis, in times like these, you rely on the Spirit. Don't rely on what words you're going to say. And it's interesting, you and I might say, well, I want control of my life. I want to be in charge. But you read this text, they're in prison. They're standing before others, having to give a word. You simply rely on me. And this has been the mark of Jesus's life. Go back to Mark chapter 1. In that beginning verses, this is the gospel of Jesus the Christ. And then the first two things we get about Jesus are not his birth, not him in the temple as a young boy. The Holy Spirit came upon him when he was baptized, and the Spirit not just led him, it says impelled, it drove him to the wilderness. Jesus's life is a life marked by being led by the Holy Spirit. So a reminder in the times of crisis where I want to take the reins and I want to be in charge, I want to get myself through, Jesus says in those times, rely on, rest in the Spirit. He will give you utterance. And then this verse 14, a very helpful word for us is to flee. Just a generation from this point in Scripture, everything's going to fall in Jerusalem. Hundreds of thousands, up to 1 million people will die. And you know who survives? Are those who have the wisdom to flee. Those who have the wisdom to get out. Now listen, I understand our Savior looked the devil in the eye. our Savior looked, as we've already seen on the temple steps during Holy Week. He looked his opponents in the eye and stood up for the gospel. But there are also times in Jesus' life when he slipped away. And you and I have to be discerning in that. That could be a whole other sermon series, when to run well, whether it's Joseph in the Old Testament, whether it's fleeing from temptation as Scripture commands us to do. No, there are times to flee, not to swing, but to flee. And so here's the reminder as well in verse 15. Now, I love what Church Father Origen says to us. He who flees ought to know the place to which he ought to flee. When things become a crisis, who do you run to? What do you run to? I love the Christian song by Chris Rice. You just run to Jesus. Just run to him. When things are frenetic, when you've been beaten up and bullied, when you're just struggling in the faith, run. And run to Jesus. There's so many other places we could run. There's so many other people to whom we could run. Flee and run to Jesus. And then this wonderful word in verse 18 and 35. Now we say, of course, preacher, this is a first thing. But so often it's not a first thing. Pray. I served in Columbus, Mississippi, the first church I ever served. I was a youth pastor. I served with Dr. Felix Supfin. And I remember one of his sermons to this day, 25 years later. He said, when your knees buckle, just because of life, when your knees buckle, let them and fall to your knees. Don't let it be a last thing. Let it be a first thing. Let your knees buckle and pray. I love a former music minister I served with. His child was asked him if he could. He was one of the coaches for their kids' baseball team. He said, Dad, would you pray for us today? And the father said, yeah, let's pray. And he prayed for sportsmanship and safety. And after he said amen, his child looked up at him and said, Dad, can I pray as well? And he said, sure, go ahead and pray. And the child said to his team, let's pray. Jesus, we got to kill these guys. It's got to be that kind of commitment to prayer. Lord, you come. Lord, you take over. Lord, you please help. These are tough, tough words. This altar is going to be open after we serve by intinction this morning. Maybe you need to spend some time at the altar and just run to Jesus. It's been one of those weeks, or it's that kind of struggle. Or maybe you need to shift the priority of your prayer life. Or maybe you need to say, Lord, I've been trying to please you. I've been gutting it out. But you know what? I haven't been listening to the Holy Spirit. And I'm in a crisis time or a tough time. Help me to rely on the Holy Spirit for a word. Help me to be as well watchful. However we need to respond. Let's respond because we can. Because God has proven his grace to us in Jesus Christ. The one who is coming again for us, but the one who also for us offered himself up. On the night on which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.